This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Buttress, host of Southern Remedies, Relatively Speaking, a show that explores issues that relate to you and your family, from mental health obstacles and family interactions to handling life's disruptions. Whatever it is, we're here to help. Find out what we're all about and subscribe to the podcast by using any podcast app or by downloading our MPB Public Media app.
Welcome to In Legal Terms from MPB Think Radio, the show all about you and your rights. I'm Liz Gill. I am joined today by Adam Kilgore and Melissa Selman Scott from the Mississippi Bar. And today we're talking about the Mississippi Bar. We're going to dig into their purpose with the help of Adam and Melissa. Adam, you're familiar with the Mississippi Bar because you're the general counsel. Welcome back to In Legal Terms.
Thank you, Liz. It is always a pleasure to be with you. I'm glad to have my law partner and friend, Missy Scott, with us today. And we are excited about talking the work that we do. I've been with the bar since 2002. And Missy, I think you came on, 2011. So we have been partnered up and doing work together. Her fancy official title is Deputy General Counsel. But like I said, we tend to partner up and manage things on behalf of the bar. And we're very glad to be with you today and to talk about the work that we get to do.
Well, you know, okay, so for those of you who are absolutely have no legal knowledge, the bar is not a restaurant or affiliated place. Although I did hear like there was a bar called the Library in some college town, so that if a roommate said, "Oh, your child has gone to the library," that is a bar. But so what is the Mississippi Bar?
Well, and it is not a place to get a drink. The Mississippi Bar, and I've had that scenario before where I've talked to somebody for 20 minutes about what I do, and then they finally figured out, wait, that's not...
Well, it's a good running joke.
It is, yeah. So the Mississippi Bar is statutorily created by the legislature. We're an entity that handles a variety of services, and included in that is attorney discipline, where we receive bar complaints, and we'll talk briefly about that. We also provide services related to our members who are lawyers. If you're practicing law in Mississippi, you have to be registered and a member of the Mississippi Bar. So there are some membership components that we manage as well. But our authority related to attorney discipline and ethics comes from the Supreme Court of Mississippi. And so one of the roles that we have related to attorney discipline is we act at the direction of the court. We're a designated disciplinary agent of the Supreme Court.
Okay, see, this right here, this was so much that I didn't know. So you're not a state agency, but it was created by the legislature.
That is correct.
And attorneys in Mississippi have to be members of the Mississippi Bar to practice?
Correct.
Now, do you have to have a law degree?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You have
all
to
right.
have a law degree, and then you apply for admission with the Board of Bar Admissions, which is located at the Supreme Court. Let me add a little more confusion for our callers. We are the Mississippi Bar, but we do not administer the bar exam.
Oh.
We accept the members that the court and the bar admissions have accepted as lawyers, and then they become our jurisdiction once they become lawyers.
Okay. Fun fact about Liz, my grandmother was the second woman admitted to the Arkansas Bar, but she didn't go to law school. What do you call it? She studied under someone or...
An apprentice?
Yeah, she was an apprentice for that. So, fun
good
fact.
Stuff. Yeah, there we go. And am I correct? You also, your father practiced?
Yeah, my dad was an attorney, and he practiced with his uncle.
Okay.
So, I'm legal adjacent, and I think I took one law class, maybe two, in college.
Well, I am not. I do have a cousin who practices law in Alabama. I was one of the first in the family to do it. But, Missy, you've got a bit of a heritage related to the practice of law.
I do indeed. My great-grandfather was a lawyer and a circuit court judge in Rankin County, and then my grandfather was a lawyer. My uncle by marriage was a lawyer, and my cousin and I, now in this generation, are both lawyers.
So it's a great example of the two ways it can present itself. There are plenty of people that go to law school, like myself, that didn't have any, you know, connection to the law. And then you have other folks that they've grown up with it. Missy, I think you went to bar convention quite a bit as a child, too.
My mother grew up going
to
the bar convention.
Your mother grew up. Thank you.
Neither of my parents are lawyers, and so I did not grow up going to the bar convention, although my children certainly have.
And Missy's too modest to say it, but I will. We have a wonderful program, and we'll talk later about some of the things that the bar does for its members. But one of them is the Jimmy Dukes Professionalism Program, which takes place at both law schools the first or second day of orientation for the new students. And that program, we sit down and you have two or three lawyers with 12 or so students that are, again, just starting their law school experience. And we go over ethics and professionalism scenarios. And that is named after Missy's relative.
Oh, very good.
Named for my uncle. That was the focus of his year as bar president, was improving the level of professionalism within the attorneys in the state.
Well, and it is fantastic to have an entire segment of jobs in our economy and of our civilization that is so important, that touches on relationships between citizens, to have a ethical and responsibility component.
Yes.
So tell us what y'all do at the Mississippi Bar.
Well, I'll start. The mission of the bar is to serve the public good by promoting excellence in the profession and our system of justice. And so this means we have kind of a twofold responsibility. We have a obligation to protect the public, and that's a lot of what Adam and I do in the attorney discipline system and the other attorneys in our office as well. And then we also have this obligation to promote excellence within our profession. So the things that we can do to help Mississippi lawyers do their jobs better, whether that be improving their law practice management or providing education in a specific area of the law, as well as encouraging aspiring lawyers to join our profession and reach out and do that work for the public.
Well, we are so glad that you do so. But the two of you with the general counsel, what does that mean? What specifically do you all oversee? What is your part of your jobs?
Well, attorney discipline is a big part of it. So, general counsel, I've never looked up the definition, but I'm going to give it a shot here, because I think it's a term and a title that can create a little bit of confusion for people.
I would think you would represent the bar if the bar got sued itself.
Yeah, and that's about 50th on the list.
Okay.
But that is in the mix. So, you know, general counsel, you will find that title in different entities, different businesses, different organizations, and they are just, you know, that office is the main legal entity that's going to be governing things and making sure the entity is in compliance. So we have some more traditional lawyer roles in that, but we advise our client, which in this instance would be the Mississippi Bar. So we end up, we have a board of bar commissioners that's 35, 40 people. I always forget that exact number, but it depends on the number of districts at a particular time. And we represent the bar and we advise them. So it's really kind of for a general counsel title, I would kind of view it as a someone who is, you know, kind of overseeing and providing legal advice and keeping you out of trouble if there's any to be had, and getting you out of trouble if you did get some. So you may have something to add there.
Yeah, no, that's that certainly sums up that part of our role. And then Adam mentioned earlier that the Supreme Court has designated us a disciplinary agent, and that's where the our role in the attorney discipline process really comes from. We are named in the rules of discipline as the complaints counsel. So we receive bar complaints when a member of the public is having trouble with their lawyer, and we investigate those and move forward, present those to a committee of lawyers that acts as a grand jury to determine whether or not misconduct has occurred. And they can either hand out discipline or kind of send it, I'll call it send it up the chain and direct us to move to a more standard litigation looking format that includes going to trial before a three-judge tribunal, and those are for the more serious offenses that would result in a suspension of an attorney's license to practice law or their disbarment.
And another component is our office gives ethics advice. Or ethics counsel, I think I may want to say it that way. Lawyers call with ethics questions routinely. One of the things I'm really proud of our time at the bar is that we have made it accessible. I feel like lawyers generally feel like they can contact the bar in good guidance on how to proceed. We don't give stamps of approval or disapproval, but we do not hide the ball, and we'll point an attorney so they can make an informed decision on their specific ethics scenario. And our bar membership feeling like they can contact us and ask a question, whether it's with real details or a hypothetical, I think is a really important component to not only help the profession, but to indirectly help protect the public, which, again, is our main charge from a discipline standpoint.
Yeah, we certainly don't. It's not fun, I'm sure, disciplining anyone, but I know as an individual, I feel good knowing that the person who's going to represent me is being held to a quality and a standard. There are over 50 bar associations of one form or another in Mississippi. I'm going to have a link from the Mississippi Bar's webpage with a list of local bar associations. You mentioned the Capitol Bar and the Mississippi Bar, and then there's like some counties have bar. Can you explain a little bit of all the hierarchy relationship on that?
Missy,
sure.
Since you're member in leadership with the Capital Area Bar Association, I'm going to let you take this one.
Yeah, so there is not a direct relationship. They're not, like, the local bar associations are not subsidiaries of the Mississippi Bar. But they are here to serve a very similar role in facilitating collegiality and professionalism, educating their members, providing networking opportunities and things like that. They don't, however, do the discipline side of things that we do at the Mississippi Bar. I am currently the Secretary Treasurer of the Capital Area Bar Association, which is the old Hinds County Bar Association. And as the Hinds County legal community has grown and spread, we became a more metro organization and changed our name to the Capital Area Bar Association. There are also a number of other local bar associations throughout the state. There are about 15 or so that are very active and meet regularly. You mentioned that those are listed on the bar's website. So if you are a lawyer in another part of the state outside of Hinds, Madison, and Rankin counties, and you are interested in getting involved with your local bar association, you can find the contact information for the presidents of those local organizations there. Or if you're in a part of the state and you don't see one listed and you're interested in getting a local bar association together, give us a call and we've got some resources. We can try to help you get that off the ground.
I'm a big proponent of them as well. And I routinely interact with the local bar associations for purposes of continuing legal education, giving an ethics hour is the internal term there. The importance of a local bar associations, I think, has risen in recent years. Lawyers are not opposite of each other in court as frequently as we were 20, 30 years ago. Interacting with other lawyers in your community can be very helpful to identify somebody, diminish any for lack of a better phrase, animosity that might can come up and during the course of representing someone. Resources. We've seen multiple instances where maybe an attorney is going through a difficult time and the rest of the lawyers in that community or in that local bar association will rally and help. And I've seen it more times than not. You know, Missy and I both see the disciplinary side of things, and that's got its unique view. I will tell you from the work we do, we are much more encouraged about the practice of law than we are discouraged on the discipline side, because there are people throughout the state that are donating their time to help our system of justice, to help the local community. And it's fun, too. There are certain pockets of the state where you can tell they're really tight. Meridian comes to mind, but there's several, you know, areas of the state that you can tell that is a tight bar association and they watch out for each other. And in turn, that results in them watching out for the local community as well.
Melissa, you did mention earlier about if someone had a complaint about their attorney. You hate it when that happens. And what might someone have a complaint about, and what would they do if they are dissatisfied with their representation? What could they contact the Mississippi Bar about?
Yeah, so I would say the most frequent complaint that we see from members of the public is that their lawyer is not responding to their communication. So they're calling, they're leaving messages, they're not getting a call back, they don't feel like they're updated on what is going on in their matter. And sometimes they don't feel like their matter is moving at the speed at which it should. And sometimes that is due to some neglect on the part of the lawyer. And sometimes that has some other things to it that make there are certain timelines within the legal system that no matter how hard you try, you just can't speed them up. That would be what the most frequent complaints that we see. If you're having that sort of issue with your lawyer, your first call is to the Consumer Assistance Program at the Mississippi Bar. And Adam, why don't you talk more about what Glenn Waddle
So we
does.
Have Glenn Waddle in our office. Glenn has been with the bar coming up on since 1994, so we're talking coming up on 30 years. Glenn helped create the Consumer Assistance Program. We were the first in the country to have one. And I think we're in the 20s right now as far as the number across the country that now have them. So back in before 1994, and this is before my time, we had a high number of bar complaints. I remember looking, I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 700. And in the current era, we get about 400 to 450. So in 93, it was a very high number, and those numbers had been rising. Back in the day, before the consumer assistance program, where you could reach out to someone at the bar, people would contact the bar and say, my lawyer won't return my telephone call. So the bar would send them a bar complaint form so they could express that ethical concern. Well, if that person is contacting the bar, complaining about their lawyer not communicating with them, what is it that they want? They want their lawyer to communicate with them. What's the most effective thing to do? So the Consumer Assistance Program, among other things, will field these questions and concerns and will provide a bar complaint form if the person requests it, regardless. But if it's simply a lack of communication, then Glenn in our office can reach out to that attorney either by letter, you know, maybe by email, maybe even by telephone, depending on circumstances, and say, this individual contacted the bar, they're expressing concern that they're not hearing back from you. And sometimes that just self-corrects. It's like, you know, people move and don't provide a new phone number. Life's busy, whatever the excuse is, and it can kind of serve as a reset. So the end result is, in my mind, is that an unnecessary bar complaint's not filed because we got to what it was really about. Now, if that lawyer doesn't communicate, if the person files the bar complaint, that lawyer's going to have to respond to it, and it may result in some discipline, and we go down that path. But so Glenn is also the voice of the Ole Miss Rebels. He's first down Ole Miss. He has got a golden voice, being in the office next to him sometimes is quite intimidating. But he is very dedicated and has a significant amount of experience, and really is the catch-all guy in our building. I'm sure you have somebody or more than one here where you'd like, go ask so-and-so, and that's Glenn. And we are very fortunate to have him. But he fields phone calls and deals with correspondence from people expressing concerns, and has been an invaluable resource to us, and was instrumental in not only creating this program but also training some other jurisdictions on how to do it. So the technical term is intake. It's that first line at the bar, and so that's what Glenn Waddle serves for us, and we're just very, very fortunate to have him.
And I'm assuming that attorneys who don't return phone calls aren't just millennial attorneys who don't call their moms back. But anyway,
that didn't sound loaded at all, Liz.
Yeah, I had a discussion with someone in my family about that just yesterday. If a individual calls in for consumer assistance program, does that automatically reflect poorly on that attorney, or sometimes can it be solved before there's something, any kind of official action? What am I getting my attorney in trouble if I just call for some assistance?
Short answer is no. Go ahead. Oh, you want me to? Okay. Short answer is no. Reaching out to the bar and expressing a concern is not going to directly get that, quote, lawyer, in quote, in trouble. It is a communication. It doesn't count as discipline to have someone contact the bar. There are times where lawyers will receive correspondence from the program and make an assumption that they've received a bar complaint. They haven't. But again, it's designed primarily to try to remedy whatever the situation is, if it can be remedied at that stage. But of course, if a person has a concern, they can file a bar complaint. And a bar complaint, if it results in discipline, can be a mark against the attorney.
And it never is an impact on the client? Could it?
it could indirectly. You know, I know we deal with individuals, people that file complaints that get a little frustrated that their attorney may not want to go forward on the case because they filed a complaint against them. That is a balancing act that somebody needs to think about. That being said, if you've got something serious, you know, you need to express it and try to, you know, protect yourself and let us help protect the public. So sometimes you're just going to have to stand up and express your concern and let the circumstances play out. But, you know, the filing of a bar complaint in and of itself is not, nor the outcome is going to have an impact on the case. In other words, if you had a legal matter and you had representation for it and you file a complaint because you believe the lawyer didn't handle something properly, whatever the outcome of the bar complaint, whether they receive discipline or not, is not going to impact the underlying case. So we always encourage people to continue to go forward. If you need to get another attorney, you need to go look for one. We can't provide one for you, but we do have some resources that help on that. And I'm sure we'll talk about that Find a Lawyer Director here at some point. So there are resources out there for that. But, yeah, bar complaint can impact things to a degree. A lawyer may not appreciate receiving one. That's just the truth.
Let's go to Hattiesburg and speak with Robert. Robert, we're glad you've called in today. What's your comment or question?
I've got a question, and perhaps the guests can expand on it. What is the situation with reciprocity or recognition of other bar memberships in other states in the state of Mississippi? I know that some states will recognize a member and allow that member to practice from a different state, but Mississippi seems to be a little more restrictive. What states does Mississippi recognize with regard to that? I know it does not recognize Florida, and it's rather difficult to say if an attorney who's practiced for 25 years in Florida moves to Mississippi. You then have to go through the whole bar exam process again, from what I understand. Is that correct? And perhaps the panelists could comment on that.
Sure. So reciprocity, or being admitted to practice in Mississippi on motion, is termed in the rules governing admission to the bar that is administered by the Board of Bar Admissions, sets out what the standards are for being eligible to apply for motion. The caller mentioned specifically Florida, and that is true. We do not have reciprocity with Florida, and that is because I believe Florida will not accept reciprocity for a Mississippi law license. So there's some give and take there. It's not just Mississippi doesn't like Florida lawyers. There are ways, however, for lawyers that may be licensed in another state to practice in Mississippi. The first would be gaining pro hoc vici admission. That is where you can be admitted on a limited basis for a particular case that is handled in the court in which that case is pending. So whether that be state court or federal court, the rules that govern that are found in the Rules of Appellate Procedure, Rule 46, and there are some limits on how many times you can do that before you are deemed to be trying to practice law in Mississippi beyond what the Supreme Court is comfortable with.
And to make sure we're not creating any confusion, Board of Bar Admissions is the entity at the Supreme Court that handles that. We happen to know about it because we get a lot of phone calls on it. But the Mississippi Bar does not handle reciprocity or admission. But as Missy said, there's more than one way to get admitted. I think the rule is for pro hoc vici admission, you can be admitted temporarily on, I think, five cases over a 12-month period.
I believe that's correct.
So if someone, I was going to ask a question, but it's not your expertise. If someone takes the Mississippi Bar exam, that's the Mississippi Bar exam.
Correct.
And it's for Mississippi.
Correct.
So, okay.
Each state has their own and handles them a little bit differently, just like every other state handles everything else differently in other settings.
That's right. There are some national components to that exam, but the Mississippi Bar exam does have a Mississippi-specific component. The Mississippi Supreme Court is who sets what the admission standards on the bar exam are and what the scores must be to be considered a passing score to be eligible for admission.
And I took it 24 years ago, and I'm still not okay. That is a very hard exam. They do a great job with it. We are, people that become lawyers in Mississippi have gone through rigorous testing and education to get there.
One last thing. During COVID, when people were sometimes not at their home, was there any people could be sleeping in another state and practice in other states? Or is that a time we don't refer to and don't think about and are glad we've passed over that?
We do have, in the Rules of Professional Conduct, Rule 5.5, it does allow some temporary exceptions to where you could be physically present in one state but practicing another state's law. So if you were, for example, an Alabama lawyer who happened to be visiting their child in Jackson, Mississippi, and you needed to work on your Alabama cases while you were here, as long as you were not practicing Mississippi law or holding yourself out to the public as a Mississippi lawyer, something that could impact and endanger our Mississippi public, that would have been considered kind of an exception to the rule.
All right. Let's go to another caller we've got in Clarksdale. We've got Mamie on the line. Mamie, thank you so much for calling in to In Legal Terms today. We've got Adam Kilgore and Melissa Selman Scott from the Mississippi Bar. What is your comment or question?
Yes. My sister got in trouble in South Haven, Mississippi. She hired an attorney from South Haven. She's never been in trouble. You know, she met with this attorney through three or four times in the court. And then the fourth time she went, the attorney didn't show up. Through her own investigating, she found out that the attorney committed suicide. And she now is trying to figure out what she has been. She can't get a hold of anybody to figure out. So did she just lose her money? I mean, not to be insensitive or anything, but what does she do, or can she do anything?
All right. What do you think, Adam? Yeah. If this was your family member, what would you suggest for them?
Couple of tips here, and listen. There's no way around it. This is a difficult situation in several aspects, and I'm sorry for your sister that she's got this uncertainty added to what's going on related to the stuff in South Haven for her. Couple of practical tips that can be helpful. Obviously, I'm sure your sister has tried to contact the office. Hopefully, there's someone there that is at least in a support role that might can get you further down the road. Obviously, if the lawyer has a law partner, that could be help. It could be helpful. Oftentimes, people are solo practitioners, and they're practicing solo. They may not even have support staff. But reaching out, going to physically visit the office if you have to, would be one practical tip. And again, I started to say earlier, communicating with the court, if you've got something filed with the court, contacting the clerk's office and inquiring about the status of your matter and just generally informing them, it's my understanding my attorney's deceased, what do I do? And, you know, to the extent the court can, they're going to take that into account. Those are the two basics. I will tell you something we've worked at is providing materials for lawyers to be prepared to protect their clients in an instance where they are no longer able to practice law or deceased. And that is a push we've been making for a while. That doesn't fix this, but that is something we recognize. And, you know, these things tend to come as surprises. And so we encourage lawyers to prepare for this and leave enough information so that someone else can pick up behind them. Because, you know, if a lawyer gets sick and is out for a while or passes away, there could be a large number of cases there. What happens to the money that, as she was mentioning, you know, that should be in the lawyer trust account and safely kept. And hopefully that person can get access to it later, but it can be complicated.
Well, and that's where, you know, you were talking about a local bar association being in tight. Is that an example of where possibly if an attorney becomes sick or incapacitated, the local IST Bar Association might call on other members to assist?
We have seen numerous instances of that. It is not their direct charge necessarily, but they do tend to undertake that. And again, it's that sense of community that we were celebrating earlier. But those are the kind of instances where they can. It's going to depend on a lot of factors, the nature of the case, the underlying case, et cetera.
Well, and we did mention the talking about the website and some of the things that the Bar Association does other than complaints is the Find a Lawyer directory. And I know I've mentioned that a few times on this show when people have said, well, how do I find a lawyer? Back me up on this.
Sure.
Tell us about the Find a Lawyer directory on the msbar.org website.
So the bar receives numerous calls a day asking for a referral to a lawyer, and the bar does not give referrals, but we have launched this new Find a Lawyer directory back at the beginning of this year, and that makes it easier for members of the public to find a lawyer in their area or that is practices the kind of particular area of law that they need help with. So if you go to that Find a Lawyer directory on the bar's website, you'll see that you can search by a number of criteria like location, practice area, whether the lawyer is accepting new clients. For our lawyers that are listening out there, this new directory also gives you the opportunity to go in and update your profile. You can add up to 3 areas of practice and add a picture and a basic biography for free. There are some other paid tiers to enhance your profile, and well as what I think is an amazing benefit, especially to our small and solo practitioners, especially those that have maybe are newer out of law school and getting established there, is you have the ability to turn that profile into a website through this company.
And I loaded my picture today. It is a nice feature, and also had a friend contact me yesterday asking about a lawyer to perform a certain function, and I typed in this instance, it was elder law, and had, I think, 13 results come up, and about four of them I knew. And was able to, you know, talk to my friend about that. So it is an excellent resource. It's still growing, but I'm very impressed with it, and we're glad to be able to provide it to the public and to lawyers. Lawyers and judges use that directory, I'm sure, as much as anybody.
And that's fantastic to have sort of the resume, the credentials of individuals. We've mentioned on the show before that if you need a lawyer, talk to people you worship with, talk to your family members, talk to your neighbors to get their experience. What do you think about that as a possible way to, in addition to looking at someone's credentials, finding an attorney?
I think it's an invaluable approach. Word of mouth, I think I read something earlier today about a movie, and they were talking about advertising for movies, and that at the end of the day, it's still word of mouth. It's still about how they viewed the movie when they were sitting in there and walking out with the test group. I think the same thing with lawyers. I think the directory is a wonderful resource, especially if you're, you know, trying to look for representation in an area you don't have any connection with or not much of a connection. But word of mouth is an excellent way to do it and get firsthand from someone else what their experience is.
Today we've been talking about the Mississippi Bar with Adam Kilgore and Melissa Selman Scott from the Mississippi Bar. But now, oh man, Marissa, I should have gotten a drum roll. Well, turn on your mic and do a drum roll on the lid on the. There you go. All right. Marissa is our drummer, and we're going to get Adam and Marissa are going to be in a band, and we'll get Jermaine to play the tambourine. And anyway, all of that is to say, Adam Kilgore, welcome to In Legal Terms, and next week you will be our new expert host.
Thank you, Liz. I am thrilled, as you well know. You and I have talked about this more than once, the opportunity to continue to serve the public and the profession and get to be on the radio with you weekly is a dream come true. That's an overused phrase. I will tell you, and my mama, who's listening, will back me up. I've said since I was about eight years old, when I grow up, I want a one-hour weekly radio show. I went to college to be a broadcaster, to be a sportscaster specifically. Got in the corporate world for a little while and then went to law school later, and here we are circling back. And I have enjoyed being on the show with you. The staff here is great. Professor Gershon has been wonderful and remains a friend, and I am very thankful. And I look forward to doing this work with you because I think it's important for the public to understand how to properly get legal representation and what lawyers do. And I also want to continue to highlight what our lawyers do, whether it's in private practice or in the public service setting. There's so much that is involved in that, and it's the backbone of our society. That's not an exaggeration. So very proud to be a part of it, and thank you for the opportunity to be with you.
Well, so what are some of your hopes and dreams and plans for our show?
Well, continuing forward, the setup is already there. The template is the fancy word I was looking for. But it, you know, in addition to that, you know, there's some show ideas you and I've discussed that I'm happy to share with the group. Have a lawyer come in and discuss products liability and what you should do and can expect when a product you purchase doesn't work properly or causes some type of harm. We have another show you and I've been talking about doing related to adoptions. That is truly the happiest, most joyous thing a lawyer can be a part of. And obviously, bringing a family together in that sense is wonderful. And again, just continue to visit with attorneys and individuals serving the public via our state government. Our Attorney General's office has so many divisions that are focused on a variety of services. We had the Public Service Commissioner for the Northern District 2 weeks ago on, and very enlightening to me. I think you and I learn as much as anybody, as much as our listeners do quite often. So it's those kind of things I look forward to, and we'll continue to have an open mind and explore the possibilities.
Well, and to learn a little bit about you, I've shared my family is from Arkansas. I grew up in that A state and have been in Mississippi now about 30 years. What's your story?
I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. Alabama. I lived there till I was 14. My dad got transferred, and we moved to Jackson at that time. And I will claim Mississippi for all purposes, except for college football. Because I grew up in Alabama. I've got a daughter there that's a junior now. But I have another that's a graduate from Millsaps, and then I have another who plans to go to Ole Miss. So we'll see how that goes. You know, for me, again, broadcasting was the first idea as a kid, and I practiced, like a lot of people did, listening to the radio, and I would record a song and then record myself doing the voice, introducing the next song, and those kind of fun things.
And folks, when we were trying to come to an agreement on who would be the new expert host, I thought I had found my soulmate with Adam, because he's a Cleveland Browns fan, as is my husband, who was born in Cleveland. But I'm sorry, I lived in Chicago for 5 years. I'm a Southsider.
Oh, you a Southsider.
I'm a White Sox fan. And where do you think heaven is?
Oh, it's Wrigley Field. And you can't deny it. There's no comparison to that Mattel Stadium you all have got on the South Side.
Okay. Folks, I may need legal representation, I don't know, but both of them are pretty sorry. But anyway.
Cubs are 18-11 in first place in the division list.
Okay,
thank you very much.
We won't say what the White Sox.
They're not in first place, I can confirm.
But Adam, we are so excited. We're about to have our new theme music. Adam hasn't heard it yet, so I hope he likes it.
I'm very excited about that.
Our new theme music. We're going to have a great summer. Forgive us. You know, we'll see how the first couple of shows go.
We'll get there. I have complete confidence, and I'm glad the drummers in the back room there are helping us.
That's right. And so we're so glad that we've had this show today. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Melissa Selman Scott, for being part of our show today when we've talked about the Mississippi Bar. We've got Marissa Vaughn is our engineer. Abram Nanny has been answering our phones. Join us next Tuesday, 10 a.m. Central, for In Legal Terms on MPB Think Radio.
Thanks for listening to this MPB Think Radio podcast. MPB depends on support from listeners, so if you can, please contribute today at mpbonline.org.